Ready to get your cherry popped?
BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy. Welcome back. It's BRB UK time of the week. And it's BRB 396 o'clock, which is, wow, we're near another big milestone, which is slightly terrifying. And I don't know why it's only just come as a surprise to me, because clearly the numbers increase by one every single week, and it's not that much closer to 400 than last time. Well, it is, relatively speaking. I'm waffling. I've had a long day at work. I'm going to speak to someone else now. Okay, Coleman, hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah, the numbers are climbing, as you say. I want to jump straight into not the headlines that we have on the agenda, but as this was pointed out to me this morning, I totally forgot to add it. Loot boxes.
You mean surprise bags?
Surprise mechanics. Loot boxes.
Surprise bags.
House of Lords, they have said that they should be classified as games of chance, which brings them under the Gambling Act of 2005.
That is such a fantastically Victorian way to describe it. I do believe this is a game of chance.
Step right up. Maybe you'll get, who will you get? Cristiano Ronaldo and your FIFA Ultimate Team?
You in the rakish hat. You look like you might enjoy a game of chance.
Step up, sweetheart. You're not a mark at all. Come here.
So a game, the House of Lords has declared that they are games of chance, therefore subject to gambling, which I think is a good development, personally.
Yeah, who would have thought that gambling mechanics in video games would be classed as gambling?
It blows my mind.
I just wanted to jump that one in real quick, because we've talked about this in the past, probably to death, but it's nice to see a little UK victory there for old Blighty.
Indeedy. And talking of small victories... No, Tim this week.
Oh, God damn it. I forgot to do that first.
He's stuck at work. He sent us a very enigmatic message, essentially saying, yeah, there's something I've got to do that I can only organise it now. And
he said, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. And this man has got to do some work.
He's got to do some
printing.
Work. First time in his life, bless him. So it's all coming as a bit of a surprise.
Tim's a hardworking man.
He's
a hardworking man that works hard.
Indeed. Not necessarily works smart, but he keeps himself very busy. I'll give you that much.
It's like the dog chasing its tail.
Yeah, exactly. Much love to Tim, wherever you are. He's probably painting something again. He's clearly very confused. When you asked him what he'd been playing this week, his answer was Kev. So, you know.
Yeah, I think we got two conversations mixed up.
No, we didn't. No, no, we did not. No, this one's got more comedy potential.
I'm still under the firm belief, and feel free to tweet Tim at BRBTim on Twitter and wind him up about this. But 2 weeks ago, we had homework of playing Resident Evil 7, me and Tim. I have been playing Resident Evil 7, and Tim has been missing for 2 weeks. So, you know, make of that what you will. I think he's just avoiding.
Well. Indeed. But anyway, there has been news and things this week. Most specifically, some rather tasty updates from Cyberpunk 2077, which this game's got me all kinds of excited, Coleman.
Yeah, not to be controversial, Dan. I know, like, it's pretty much I'm on my own on this opinion, but I think this game looks pretty good.
So do I. I mean, I was in when it was Cyberjunk 2077, that whole thing broke, where I could get a cybernetic Prince Albert upon my person, it seems. So, I mean, it looks incredible. It really does look incredible, this game. So this week there was kind of a 25-minute community touch base hosted by ex-Sony front girl, or front lady, rather, Holly Bennett. Who now at CD Projekt Red.
The lovely Holly.
And she was basically kind of running us through what to expect from the game, and it launches now November 19th. That's this week's release date for Cyberpunk 2077. Confirming such goodness that if you buy on Xbox One X or PS4, it will work, or you will get a free upgrade to a Series X or PS5 code. Obviously linked to that platform, so you would have to stay within the Xbox family or stay within the PlayStation family.
I see.
Got to keep it in the family.
Yeah, I need to look over the tech specs and work out if this is a PC game for me or if I should make the jump to...
You should be all right.
I don't want to make too many sacrifices to my setup, you see.
You might have to... You could upgrade to an... Probably think about upgrading to an RTX card.
Yeah, but it looks bloody impressive. And
it doesn't it look incredible? Apparently, the specs that it was running on was a... I think it was a 9th gen Intel i7 with a RTX 2080 Ti, and that was hitting a solid 60. But do bear in mind that Nvidia have got such clever tricks up their sleeves like DLSS, which is a really excellent form of upsampling. So you run the game at a lower resolution, but it uses AI trickery and tomfoolery, perhaps a game of chance, to upgrade it. I know. Upgrade it to your desired resolution. It looks quite spanky. So they're probably leveraging that. I'm not quite sure how well it's going to hold up on the current gen consoles, but I would imagine the incoming wave of consoles are probably going to have a similar level of performance to that. I'm most excited about is, you know, I'm really interested in some of the quite challenging narrative they're taking head on in this particular world. I mean, I'm really looking for, you know, one thing CD Projekt Red do so well is like not only build a compelling narrative but also build a wonderful environment that these games take place in. So I'm really excited for that. Really excited.
Yeah, it just looks absolutely... But I mean, me and Tim, we've spoken about it before. We went to go see a live demonstration with Holly Bennett, funnily enough, last year. And I think they ran us through about 30 minutes of the game, and it was literally just straight gameplay. They didn't jump back and forth, or, you know, it wasn't a trailer. There was someone playing the game in front of us. And I was interested from that point, and because it's good to see the gameplay without the kind of glitz and glamour of the trailer thrown together and everything mishmashed to show you the best bits. And yeah, it's got a definite Deus Ex vibe about it, but with so many other things that I can't really describe, but it's an amazing looking RPG, and I really want to get into this. It's kind of like, I think Skyrim is the only thing that's sort of close to this in the area that I've got to, that first person RPG, because usually when they set games like this, they don't set them in a way that I'm particularly interested in, that be that the mythology or the apocalypse stuff of Fallout. But Cyberpunk with this kind of what if the future but 80s, that really does appeal to me.
What if the future but 80s is big hair still in?
Also Keanu Reeves, you know.
Well, why not? Keanu Reeves makes anything better. I think we can all agree that.
We get double Keanu Reeves, because not only do we get Keanu Reeves, but we get Keanu Reeves' band doing a lot of the music as well. And
so apparently, KK Slider, because you've got two Ks in there. Keanu Slider.
Apparently, from a report I heard today, Keanu Reeves has the second most dialogue, recorded dialogue in this game, so his character's going to be quite up and front, I reckon.
Wow.
Yeah. He's breathtaking. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it.
I am properly looking forward to it. I really am.
So as well as the gameplay that we got to see, we got a look at Brain Dance, which is kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, this looks a lot like the detective mode from Batman, the Arkham series.
A bit like that, and also it reminded me of some of the kind of Heavy Rain mechanics of kind of looking at... exploring a crime scene where it's actually all the little details and stuff like that. I mean, RIP much larger, obviously. Yeah. But to me, I'm going to be really interested to see how... I mean, I spent a bit of time saying, look, it's not just a gimmick. We've actually thought how we can integrate this into various quests and other gameplay mechanics and stuff. But I'm interested to see what I could do with it. It does... There's no other way to say it. It did look a tad gimmicky in the footage that they showed, but it was the stuff right near the end of it where it's like you think, oh, it's all to do with what did that person, the person who you're kind of following through their recorded vision and thoughts and feeling, you're following through. It's not only the stuff they see, it's actually subtle things in the environment that they might not have kind of consciously processed but were there in the background, you can use to flesh out the scene as well. Like, they didn't see the guy who who was hiding in the darkness on the floor who popped them in the head,
Batman,
for example. So I don't think that's a spoiler because it's in the
it's in the trailer. It's fine.
It's in the trailer,
and also it's an introduction to the mode.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
It looks cool. I'm just so excited by all the things in this game.
But also they announced an anime called Cyberpunk Edgerunner, made by the people who made My Hero Academia, and there was another one as well, Kill la Kill, which are two popular animes that I have no interest in, but have really good video games behind them. So maybe we'll get, I don't know, maybe if Cyberpunk 2077 is rubbish, then the anime will be really good.
Well, I mean, I think this is, it takes place in the same universe as the game, but isn't a retelling of the events in the game. So it's going to have, you know, its own cast of characters, its own plot going on. Be quite interesting to see how it ties into the continuing narrative of Cyberpunk 2077.
That's going to come to Netflix in 2022, currently it's slated.
Yeah, now that's the only thing that threw me for a bit of a loop, actually. I was expecting that they were going to try and bring its release a little sooner to the release of the game. I don't know, or maybe this is confirmation that Cyberpunk 2077 coming out November 19th, 2022.
Well, considering in the announcement they had no footage of the anime whatsoever, like this could have just been inked, you don't know, but... I'll give it a watch. It's on Netflix. I have Netflix anyway, so might as well. But I'm wondering if it's going to link into the game in such a way that you need to have played the game first to then watch the anime, and that's why you set it a year after the actual game itself.
Oh, I'm just so looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
The game looks absolutely amazing, and it's completely sold me on it. I thought it would be something, because I know Tim is the... massively excited about this game, has been since day one, it seems, and every time he sees something he gets more and more excited about it. And I thought, well, Tim's got this covered for the show now, he'll play this, I can probably leave it a couple of months, wait for the price to come. That's a day one purchase now, isn't it? Your Temptress Holly Bennett with your Polish video games,
and your platinum hair. Gosh darn it,
damn you CD Projekt Red.
CD Projekt Red.
Projekt.
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 Projekt Red.
CD Projekt Red.
Let us not continue with this
action. It's how it's spelt. It's a Polish studio.
CD Projekt.
Let's talk about Nintendo.
Okay. They're sorry, apparently.
Because they've got two headlines. They're very sorry.
They are so sorry. They're like, oh, guys, look, we're sorry. Okay.
Well, I'd like to say I'm sorry for Nintendo, to Nintendo, in fact, because they are saying sorry for the Joy-Con drift. I would like to say sorry because I've been accusing them of selling me Joy-Cons that have drift to find out it's actually the screen that's buggered, not the Joy-Cons.
Really?
Yeah, one side of my touchscreen is constantly pressing, so that's what is making the menus and things just slide to
is
the left.
Is it not just your big fat sausage fingers?
It's not my big fat sausage fingers. I did
God
a test
and
everything. You can do a test to check your screen and your controllers and stuff. And if you check the screen, mine, it just darts about constantly on the left side of the screen, which I found a temporary fix for, which is sticking a screwdriver in the speaker just under the screen on the left side and just popping the screen up ever so slightly.
Hey, look, that sounds like a perfectly non-warranty voiding solution.
I'm already out of warranty, so that's it.
Just try hitting it with a hammer or something. But yeah, so but basically the reason why Nintendo are so sorry is the whole Joy-Con drift issue that's been kind of slightly plaguing the Switch for the past couple of years now. So this is something that is, guess what, a subject of a class action lawsuit in America, because unhappy about something, whine about it
en
masse is clearly the solution. But they've said, look, we're really sorry about it. It was a formal apology made during their last financial Q&A, but beyond saying sorry about it, they couldn't really say anything else because of the class action lawsuit, so they can't stipulate any fixes or any remedies that they're going to make because of class action lawsuits.
Yeah, very quietly earlier in the year, they did start if you have a Joy-Con drift issue, call Nintendo, because in some cases they're just taking them back and issuing replacements, no questions asked, or fixing them. But that seemed to be subject in certain parts of the US and not in the UK at all. And then over time, I've heard there's cases where they have been accepting them in the UK and other states. So if you do have the issue, then just contact Nintendo and find out for yourself. But yeah, we're going to see something, but there's a class action lawsuit, so they're not allowed to bloody comment on anything now.
Thanks, America. Thanks, it's America.
But also, Nintendo's in the news because they're following suit from Sony.
Really?
As well, yes. So if you remember, I think this was either last year, Sony made the decision to go, hey, those codes that you can walk into, say, a HMV or a game and pick up a game code and take that to the counter and then
hey, that's something I like to do, Coleman.
Yeah, yeah, redeem your code. I mean, funnily enough, some people don't like saving their credit card information, debit card information, PayPal information on their account. So you can go to... And do you remember, the PS3 did get hacked. You know, it's not always your financial information is safe. So some people do like to go to a store, pick up a game card and then redeem their game that way. The problem is that last year Sony went, we're not doing that anymore. You can get credit for games, but you can't buy games outright through digital codes anymore. And Nintendo this week, it seemingly. So first of all, I believe it was Shop 2, which is a UK seller. They put out a statement saying that Nintendo has made the decision to not sell full digital Nintendo games. Nintendo then followed that up with a statement to Nintendo Life saying that that they won't be selling first-party Nintendo games from the 1st of July, so that's in effect now, in European territories. So US is still fine, but we're the ones that get done over with this. And which is weird as well, because I think it was only just in the Wii U era that they started doing this in the UK. They'd never done this before, and they rolled it out, and they went, do you know what? Taking it back, bud.
Yep.
So we can't buy first-person titles digitally anymore, but you can buy credits still and add-on content, like the recent Pokemon Sword and Shield expansions. You can buy those digitally in other retailers, but everything else, that's gone. And I understand in the way that Sony did it, because they then... for the PS5 reveal went, here's a digital console. You know, you're going to be subject to having to buy your games directly through us and nowhere else. You have no discount unless we say so. Nintendo, as far as I'm aware, there's no such plans to do such a thing, but you never know.
I mean, presumably it's going to, you know, not only really mess up kind of high street retailers who, Lord knows, they need a helping hand if ever anyone does at the moment. But presumably also websites like cdkeys.com, that's going to cut into their revenue model. And especially, I mean, because download codes are region locked, aren't they? That you can only redeem a code from one area on a given territory store.
I don't know if Nintendo operate in the same region systems as the other companies, but mostly they are. The other issue is there is a big problem with key sellers where someone will, say, steal a credit card, buy loads of keys, then resell them elsewhere. It's a big problem with, I cannot remember the name of that reseller site.
Several
key seller sites.
Several? All of them?
I can't remember the big one that everyone hates.
Generally speaking, it's, do your homework. If something is... For example, if you can find a copy of Windows 10 Pro for £3, chances are it was probably not obtained by the most legal of means.
Those are our headlines. Would you like some points of interest, Dr. Dan the Doctor Man?
Interest my points, Mr. Coleman Man, the Mr. Man.
Prepare to be interested. So we've got a couple of announcements this week. Devolver Direct, if you remember, that is the Devolver Digital, in brackets, live stream, but it's actually pre-recorded.
They make many things that make me happy.
They put out a show during E3, and it's usually, even though there are game announcements and DLC announcements and things, it's a very satirical look at the games industry, and it kind of turns into an Adult Swim madness type thing, and I really, really enjoy. I think they've done three of these now, and they've been very good every time. That's going to be on July the 11th at 8 p.m. in the UK, and I'm really looking forward to this. They're going to broadcast it live on Twitch and Steam for some reason.
Live.
Yeah, live, pre-recorded
live
thing.
With quotes. They will press play on the video record, on the video playing machine, live on Twitch, and you can then watch it with them. It'll be like Mystery Science Theatre 3000. Everyone will have a wonderful time.
Mystery Science Theatre for the mind. But they promised new game reveals, gameplay
really?
Reveals, release
Yowza.
Date announcements, and
Blimey.
Special gates from the
Flipping
industry
heck.
To help usher in these important marketing bullet points.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad they have self-awareness. That is the most powerful power.
I hope we have the same host, because she's brilliant. Dreams, there was a...
Can come true.
They can. Look at me, babe. I'm something you.
Yeah, you're what?
I
on
can't
a first
remember the
date?
Lyrics
I don't
all
think
the
so.
Time. Anyway, Dreams, they had their own little mini expo. They did a live stream where they went through a bunch of upcoming games on Dreams from creators that they're particularly enamored with, which... Check out the Media Molecule Twitter account for information on those. But during the stream, they said that Dreams is getting the free update to make it compatible with PlayStation VR.
Huzzah! Motion sickness incoming.
Yep. The update will arrive on July the 22nd and will include tutorials on making new creations in PSVR. I'm really looking forward to just unleashing hell on Tim's eyeballs.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it would be... Where I actually think it would be great with Dreams will be in the actual creation and the sculpting of things, kind of the actual model creation tools. Being able to do that in proper 3D will be amazing.
Oh yeah, I mean, when they added the move support to Little Big Planet 2, it was a game changer. It worked really, really well. It's just that no one used it, because I think Tim was the only one who owned a PlayStation Move for the PS3.
Yes, you're right. I think he was. I just consulted the sales figures. There were
just,
a couple of thousand
it says
units
just
sold.
Tim.
all 80,000 units were bought by Tim, and that's why he's having to work so hard every hour of the day to pay off his massive move controller debt.
Addiction.
Yep.
Yeah. Bloodstained Curse of the Moon 2, that is going to be released on July the 10th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC. If you're thinking, hold on, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, that came out just recently. This is actually the weird 8-bit Nintendo Entertainment System homage type game that came out before. Apparently it's very good. I didn't like Bloodstained Curse of the Moon or Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. But if you did, then there's a sequel coming out very, very soon. So I look forward to that.
Yeah, 10th of July.
And Dan, I've got some news just for you, me mucker.
It'll tickle me on the perineum and call me Archibald.
How would you like a video game TV series?
Mate, I am all about the cross-media. I love it.
As someone who's been on a TV show about video games, how do you feel about this?
I feel like they're a bit late to the party on this. And really, you know, frankly, it's just proof that they are indeed eating my dust, as I predicted
Daniel,
back in 1994.
I burned Chris up in the first round.
Oh my god, it's...
Nah.
Thanks for that comment.
By the way, there's an eating my dust emoji on the Big Red Barrel Discord available for all.
You really are an incredible barrel.
I get bored. Anyway, Variety has reported that ZAUM, or ZAUM, I'm assuming, they've partnered with DJ2 Entertainment. DJ2 Entertainment, I believe the owner of that was one of the co-producers for the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. They are getting together to develop a TV series based on...
Disco Elysium.
That's brilliant. I don't know how that works, but I'm all in.
Yeah, I think it'd make a great telly show.
Yeah.
I really do. Have you played Disco Elysium?
I've only in the preview state. I need to pick it up, but it never goes down to a price that I'm comfortable with at the moment.
It's such a corking game, and the characters in it are just wonderful. And if they span out a series from that, and the kind of the interplay between the characters, how they think, how they approach the world around them, I just think it would be an absolutely fantastic series. I mean, the writing in the game itself is incredible, and if they can make that work on a TV show, you know, that'll be fantastic. Oh, that's good times, Coleman. It's good times.
I can't help but think this will be some kind of weird hodgepodge of Always Sunny in Philadelphia mixed with Columbo. That's basically Disco Elysium.
Yes.
I'm all for it. A couple of delays this week. First of all, a theme park expansion has been delayed.
What?
So Universal Studios Japan, they are planning to postpone the opening of the upcoming Nintendo theme land in Osaka, which is called Super Nintendo World.
Why, Coleman?
Well, because of COVID, Dan.
All right, fair enough.
Already, I believe they've just opened up again at half capacity, and those numbers, they even though they're still impressive, they don't gel well with a Nintendo opening, so you got to put back.
Mm-hmm.
It's indefinitely delayed, apparently.
Wow.
So until they've figured out what a safer opening date is in this current state of affairs.
I look forward to the urban exploration videos of the decrepit Nintendo Park in about 20 years' time. That's going to be some good watching.
Not quite Japan, but China. They have a tendency to start building theme parks that are a legal minefield when it comes to copyright, run out of money, and then shut down. And then people will go do their own explorations of these abandoned theme parks. And I used to get quite obsessed with these videos a while ago, but now I'm just obsessed with the theme parks. Check those out.
You've now got me Googling abandoned theme parks.
I think there's an abandoned World of Warcraft theme park that Blizzard's
really?
Trying to shut down. Yeah, before it got opened up. But then there is one that opened up that Blizzard's trying to shut down. So, hey-ho. Crucible, this is Amazon's free-to-play team shooter. This actually did launch. Free-to-play, unfortunately, they've then come out and said that it's going back into closed beta just a month after the official release.
That's not how you do early release, boys. That's not how you do it.
No,
you're doing it wrong, mate.
So this happened from the 1st of July. It shifted back into closed beta right now. If you have been playing it, you've got access to the beta. If you haven't, like me, if you installed the game and have been going, oh, I really should get round to playing this. I can't play it now.
So hang on. So you have to have logged in before the switch back to...
Yeah. So I need to uninstall this now because it's just taking up valuable space.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah. I hope that... I think I got my wires crossed because Amazon are working on an MMO and I thought that this was the MMO. So I just... I hear Amazon's launched a game. Crucible, download... Oh, no. It's a team shooter. So fine. But hey.
Wow, there are incredible dilapidated... theme parks.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you'll eat a few hours.
Gulliver's Kingdom in Japan, that one's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that? It's like a massive 100-foot-long Gulliver lying down, a la the story, and you're meant to be like little Lilliputians.
Oh, they have one in Spain. I went to go see last year. It's like a big park, but it's a Gulliver. It's it seems a lot of countries are quite enamored with Gulliver's Tales for some reason.
Wow,
as you are. But anyway, would you like some rumors?
I would love some rumours, if only to tear me away from the black hole that is abandoned amusement parks on the internet. Damn you, Coleman!
I've got you hooked now. Sorry.
Damn you!
Hyperspace. If you've not heard, and,
it's like space, but better.
This started with a rumour as I wrote it. The now following development, it seems like this is a real thing. Ubisoft are reportedly raring up to tease a new first-person shooter battle royale called Hyperspace.
Oh, thank God we haven't had one of those for a while.
Do you like battle royals, Dan?
I love them with cheese.
Excellent. I said the wrong word. I know I did. Anyway, this has been reported. Well, there's a website up now for Ubisoft's soon-to-be-announced battle royale shooter, and it's called the Prisma Dimensions website.
Hey, that's a catchy name.
Prisma Dimensions is meant to be a kind of future... scientific company, and they talk about the hyperspace. So
they're not at all like Abstergo, honest.
Yeah.
And my goodness, there's quite a lot of similarity between what I would describe as kind of the Vex architecture from Destiny 2. Of course, I was just trying to relate everything to Destiny, and kind of the visual that they're going here. Interesting.
I'll check it out. But knowing Ubisoft, they'll probably charge you £60 to play this. And
I'm gonna sign up so I can be the first to discover the Hyperscape, our new world that'll be unveiled July 2nd. That's today, Coleman. I better sign up.
Have they unveiled it yet?
Not yet. I'm signing up.
So this is gonna see. Now we've got a rumor that will be announced by the time this episode goes up tomorrow,
as is tradition.
Anyway, another rumor, well, two rumors, in fact, coming from the House of Microsoft. And these have been floating around for a while now, especially with Fable. I believe it's Playground Games, the guys that make Forza Horizon. They've been advertising for a while for people to work on an open world RPG of some sort. People put two and two together and come up with Fable. And following on from that, it seems that there have been two Twitter accounts that have been registered by a Microsoft email address, and that is for a Fable Twitter account and a Perfect Dark Twitter account. Microsoft has seemingly gone, well, we do that. We just register names that belong to us because they're our names, and don't worry about it. Don't look over here. Now Microsoft have applied to renew their Fable trademark with intent to use. So I think we're getting a Fable from Playground Studios, Dan.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we did. Yeah. I'd be quite up for that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of a change in direction for Playground. I'll give them that, unless it's...
And for Fable, you know, going from Lionhead, Peter Molyneux to guys that make the card game.
But the change in direction from... the change of direction for Fable, I was actually going to go from being vaporware to being an actual thing was going to be the big change of direction for Fable, but...
It was a shame. I'm assuming I can talk about it now, but do you remember there was the Fable Legends that was meant to launch with the Xbox?
May not have been in that beta as well.
Oh, there we go then. That game was not brilliant, but when they recreated the world of Albion, it looked really impressive on the Xbox One tech for the time. So it's a shame. And I was just thinking the whole time playing this game that, wow, look at the effort they've put in. I wish this was a proper Fable game rather than what we're getting. And now if we're getting a proper Fable game, I'll be very happy with that. I'll be interested to see what they do with Perfect Dark, if that is a thing, you know, because we've had a Perfect Dark rebrand for the Xbox 360. It didn't go down too well. Do you reboot it? Do you do a sequel? Does it stay first person? Does this go third person? Different game altogether? Who's the studio behind it? Because Rareware, you know, they're quite busy with Sea of Thieves now.
Who knows?
Dan, that's all the news we have this week.
Is that all the news we have
this
week?
That is all the news we have. That is all the points done interested. I hope that you are interested with those points.
I loved them. They were my favourite points this week.
Would you like to talk about some games that we played?
Let's talk about games we done played. Well, I haven't so much played new games, but the way in which I played them had to change.
Define.
Let me tell you a story about... GPU fan controllers. It's very exciting story. Basically, one of the fans on my graphics card decided to go absolutely bonkers for no good reason whatsoever. All the good folks at NVIDIA, I have a 3-year warranty on my card. Got an RMA label, sent it off. 3 days later, got a repaired car back in the post, which was very, very good of them. But it did mean, in order to get my fix, I had to investigate alternate means of enjoying the video gaming things. I kind of did a bit of test driving of GeForce Now and Stadia to have a little bit of a side-by-side comparison. I'm so glad my graphics card is back.
I, too, have tried these things. I spoke about Stadia, which I mainly played on my phone because I have this cool thing that goes, hey, you can clip your phone to a Xbox One controller, and it works very, very well. Stadia was decent enough to play that way. It's the thing I use for Project X Cloud as well. I tried a little bit of Stadia in the browser to varying degrees of success.
Yeah, in the browser is arse.
I did find that for some reason, my PC hates connecting my PS4 controller through Bluetooth through Steam to play Destiny, but Stadia loved it, even though in their notes they said...
Loved it.
Had no problem with that. But even though in the notes it said not compatible with PlayStation 4 Bluetooth yet. So, I don't know. And again, if I didn't have a means to play Stadia that was outside of Google Stadia, I would have been fine with that experience, just hoping that I didn't see anything that made me go, oh, I wish I had a gaming PC or a PlayStation to play this with.
Yeah, I mean, I think on one level, you have to bear in mind, it's pretty incredible technology that you're interacting with something that is running a game some distance from you, and that the whole shebang actually works. I think the good, you know, and from either standpoint, they're both pretty incredible things. And both NVIDIA and Google have got some pretty meaty computing chops that they can throw at this problem. However, it's not as good as the real thing, Coleman.
Would you say we're not there yet, Dan?
We are not there yet. We are not there yet. But out of the two, I was actually somewhat mildly more impressed by GeForce Now for no other reason than essentially you run the games from Steam or from Uplay. So essentially, if you've already got these games, you can play them on GeForce Now.
So initially they went, hey, we're going through different games, and if you have them on Steam, then you can now play them.
Mm-hmm.
Owners of said games were then going, hold on, we're not getting a cut of this. We want to charge you to use our games on your platforms. And then they had to then start taking games off the platform.
I think it's just Epic have done that so far.
Is it just Epic so far? Okay. But
so far.
I've heard some indie games have done it as well.
I mean, and that's fair enough. I mean, I can kind of understand that their revenue model is pretty tight at the best of times. But yeah, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised to a degree with GeForce Now until I thought, you know what, maybe I will, just in case my GPU takes a while to come back from being repaired or they find one to pick off the shelf sent to me, I thought, do you know what, I might actually treat myself to, for the sake of a fiver a month, just a month of GeForce Now's premium offering. They have some severe problems on that front. So,
okay.
I was like, okay, fine, sign out, I'll do a month, that's okay. Put in my PayPal details. Payment authorization refused. Okay, weird. Put in my debit card details, which was a dumbass move. Never do that. Always buy stuff on a credit card if you can. Put in my details. Payment authorization refused. Okay, try my credit card. Payment authorization refused. So the next day I checked my bank statements. They charged me every single attempt. Despite telling me that the payment had been refused and they hadn't unlocked access to the kind of the premium tier of the service, despite taking my money. Now, obviously I did something with tech support and they slightly fobbed me off. The first guy I spoke to was like, oh, there's no account with your email address. Like, there is. He's like, no, there isn't. He's like, look, I'm logged into it.
As someone who's got 15 years of IT experience, Dan, I would like to say that is the correct procedure to fob the customer off.
Yeah, I know, right? But I managed.
You also tell I worked for Sky in a call center at one point.
Yeah, I brute forced my way through the corporate apathy that had been instilled in this individual, and you know, got escalated up to level two. Ooh, I leveled up and. They said, oh, yeah, it might not be an actual charge. It might just be kind of a hold. Check it. You know, it's coming up to day 7 to 10 now, so I'm going to check in. But, yeah, don't try and buy a membership on GeForce Now at the moment unless there's clear communications that they have sorted their payment system out, because that's not great.
I've only used the free version.
The free version is what I went back to. Perfectly all right. You have to queue sometimes. And I think you're limited to an hour's worth of connection on the free in one go. You can hang up and do another hour.
Well, I only did it to kind of compare it to Google Stadia. And the interesting thing I thought, especially as well, we were talking about Cyberpunk earlier, and there's all these different sections of people go, these write-ups of people going, I played 4 hours of Cyberpunk. Here's what I thought of Cyberpunk for 4 hours. And all of those have been done through GeForce Now streaming. Mm. So, and a couple of different writes, not so much in the write-ups, but like podcast reviews and stuff where they've spoken about it, podcast impressions. They've actually spoken about the streaming setup as well and like how well they found GeForce Now worked over a four-hour period of this for all intents and purposes, unreleased game. What I found with it is if I set out to play Destiny 2 and went, okay, let's play some Destiny 2, And it said, okay, Q, all right, well, I've got a podcast to edit. I will come back to this and leave it running in the background. 2 hours later, it still hadn't logged in, so I gave
really?
Up on that. Yeah, because Destiny's popular. If I used a lesser game, I think it was Snakey Bus that I jumped in on, and that let me in straight away.
Snakey now, Bus?
Yeah. What I like out of GeForce Now over Stadia's offerings is that Stadia, it's, okay, you are playing the game the way that Google are offering the game. If you go to GeForce Now, they basically go, okay, we're going to replace your PC with this virtual PC, essentially. What do you want? You want the 4K? You want the 60 frames a second? You want the 120 frames a second? You want to just, how much do you want to bolster this up? Where, it's your choice to mess around with it and see what optimal output you get. Whereas Google, it's kind of, we tell you how it works and you don't really get a choice of that. It's more of a console setup against a PC setup.
I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, I think all I would say is you know, in order, you know, the fact that I had to remind myself of actually the tech that underlies this is pretty cool.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It is, but if you're having to actively remind yourself that, oh, it's kind of forgivable, it's a bit ropey, or there's kind of inconsistent input lag or image artifacting, you have to go, oh, but actually, if you think about it, it's cool. Kind of gives you a bit of a clue that we're not quite there yet. And it was interesting having to unexpectedly use that service for kind of gaming that it was probably slightly better than I expected, but was still by no means ideal. I mean, again, in 15, 20 years, I'm sure it'll be great, but defo not ready for prime time at the moment, in my humble opinion.
Fair enough.
What have you been playing, Coleman?
I have been playing a little game called Superliminal.
Superliminal? You tried to get me to buy this a little while ago.
I don't think I tried to get you to buy it. I think we spoke about this during a Nintendo Direct thing we were doing.
I distinctly remember Mind Control.
So this was shown off at Shut up. This was shown at a Nintendo Direct. They were like, hey, this thing is coming to the Switch. To which you then went, well, it's coming out on PC sooner. And in fact, came out last year, November. And I...
Have I bought it yet? No.
Well, I contacted the fine folks at Pillow Castle, who were nice enough to send me a PC copy, because I was like, I'm all about this. I like the look of your trailer. I would like to play this on the Switch.
Cut of your jib.
And they went, would you like a PC copy? Because you can have that now. And I went, oh, yeah, yeah, totally. I love it. So I got a nice PC copy to play through. This game is essentially, take Stanley Parable, take Portal, mix them together, and you got this. And
lovely.
It's a very good game. A short game, but a very good game. The whole kind of premise is you are asleep, and the game takes place within your dreams, and those dreams can end up within dreams. Hold on 1 second. Very good. So yes, it's a little bit Inception-y.
You have too much time on your hands, and that wasn't the Inception noise.
That was the Inception noise.
No, it wasn't. It went... So that's you got the Inception noise.
That's the wrong horn, which is next to the Inception horn.
Excellent. Well, I kind of quite like that as kind of comedy Inception.
Good.
I like it. Yeah, I think the film would have had much more impact if it had like...
Anyway, so the... I just got this idea of the world flipping over while Leonardo DiCaprio is like, and it's going, Hans Zimmer, what have you done, you madman? Anyway, this game takes place within your dreams. I believe you're under some form of experimental drug for dream therapy. And throughout the game, you are spoken to by a kind of GLaDOS-like voice that is guiding you through what you're meant to be doing, but not really giving you explanation in what you're doing. It's kind of done in a comedy style. Now, if you've not seen footage of this game, the way it kind of works is you could pick up something small like a chess piece, a pawn from a chessboard, and in your frame of reference, like place it in front of you so it looks like it's at the end of the room, and then drop it, and then it will be at the end of the room. So through forced perspective, when you walk up to it, it's then a larger object than it was.
So it is the game equivalent of that scene from Father Ted. where they're going, no, Dougal, this is small, but those are far away.
Yes, those cows are far away. It's exactly that. And it, same in another way, you might walk into a room and find that there is a giant block in the room and nothing else. So you'll take the block and then put it really close to your face and then let go, and it will then be the size of a play block. But that will reveal a hole in the wall behind the block that you can then walk through. And there's all these different kind of force perspective, mind trickery games. And I'm gonna use the footage for the video version that goes up on YouTube of this game. But because the game is quite short, I'm probably going to loop it around twice, like half an hour's worth, and just do it again. Because the game is quite short. I believe you can beat it in about an hour 15 if you mm-hmm. speed run it. But you can see in the footage, you can't see me, but you can see in the way that I'm playing, this game is breaking my brain the more and more I play it.
Come on, I've got a question.
Yes.
Okay, I have a question. Did you shit yourself because you were that preoccupied by the mind-bending perspective issues you were having?
I didn't, but I found myself...
You didn't?
No, I thought...
No, you didn't lose control to that part. It was like, oh, I was concentrating too hard again.
Well, I thought, do you know, I'll play this, I'll get like 40 minutes of capture, and then I'll play it properly the next day. And I sat here for a couple of hours just playing the game all the way through because I couldn't stop myself. It's really good. And the further you go, the weirder the puzzles get, the more kind of how far does Alice get to see down the rabbit hole she goes and all that kind of stuff. It goes pretty far and mind-bending towards the end. The only issue I found with this game is you can cheese it quite easily. It's just a case of you figure out if you walk up to a wall and put an object against there, you can make it very small very quickly. If you put an object above you, drop it, and then catch it just before it goes in front of your face and let go, it will be absolutely massive. So you can... Yeah, like I say, cheese your way through just making it go, I've done this to get through this, I've done this to get through this, rather than playing the way the game is intending you to play and accidentally skipping puzzles along the way, which is a bit of a shame. Like I say, it's quite a short game as well. But it's $15.99 on PC at the moment. I don't know what console price they're looking at the moment. But otherwise, I like Portal, I like Stanley Parable. This is a worthy successor to be like in between those two games. And I would recommend anyone go pick this one up. But yeah, Pillow Castle Games, Superliminal, if you're interested.
Superliminal.
That's coming out sometime in... Again, I don't have the...
It's coming out 7th of July, I believe.
There you go, 7th of July. So a little bit after this podcast comes out. But if you're interested, then go check it out for yourself. This looks like a worthwhile Switch port. Well, the Switch game, taking it out on the move. A little puzzle game to keep you going. I'd be interested to see if there's any kind of touchscreen implication to the game at all. Because I think that would lend itself well. But... yeah.
Who knows? Who the devil knows, Coleman?
Who the devil knows? Because it's not in the press release. But yeah, I really enjoyed this.
Great. Oh, my God. Look. Do you think 16 quid's quite steep for the length of game, though?
I don't know. Considering there's 45 pound games and they last for 5 hours, you know, there's.
So are you saying it's small but yet perfectly formed?
Yeah, I think so. I think the only issue is the big issue is that there's not much replayability to the game once you've played. As far as I know, maybe when I go back my third time, I'm going to find out that everything changes on the third run through or something. But as far as I can see,
there's no time attack mode, nothing like that.
Not that I can see, unless you're going to make it up for yourself. And I haven't looked at the achievements or anything for this game. I've literally just played it through, but. I liked it. It's a pretty game. It messes with your mind, and I like that.
You just like people messing with your mind?
I like people messing with my mind, and I like Inception noises. So there we go. We've got no Gosh update because Tim's not here. We've got no Tabletop Tuesday because it's
Tuesdays
still
don't exist anymore
at the moment. I believe loading
I ignore
are looking
Tuesdays.
To...
My week goes Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is what my week does now.
I believe the loading bars are reopening soon. So
excellent.
I would assume that Tabletop Tuesday might follow at some point, but I don't know when. We'll have to speak to Tim about that. But in the meantime, would you like some feedback from that there community that listens to the show? Cool. So if you want to get in contact with the show, maybe throw us a question, a comment, a bit of feedback, maybe you want to recommend a game to us, maybe you want to tell us that we're stupidly wrong, as someone has done this week, you can do so on twitter.com/BigRedBarrel or at Big Red Barrel. You can do so on facebook.com/BigRedBarrel, or you can do so on BigRedBarrel.com in the comment section of this here episode. Or while you're on BigRedBarrel.com, there is a link to Discord. Click it. It will send you an invite. You can accept that invite and join our Discord channel. We have the what do we call it? The BRB UK Lounge, where you can talk to us through there. Like these fine folks have done, Pete via Twitter, he wanted to give us some feedback regarding the news of Crash 4. Toys for Bob, which I said made Insane Trilogy and Crash Team Racing and Spyro Reignited. He said Toy for Bob made Spyro Reignited. It was Vicarious Visions who did the Crash Insane Trilogy. Great show, though. Thank you for your compliments, and thank you for pointing out my flaws.
Yeah, and thank you for the politest correction I think I've seen for a while. So, thank you very much.
Matt via Twitter, he said, with Dreams getting PSVR support, what other games would you like to see get PSVR support and why?
Gran Turismo. Racing plus VR is good
times.
They
do that. They do that.
Do they?
Yeah.
I want the new one with
one
it.
Came out. Okay.
I want Mod Nation Racers because I want the entertainment equivalent of shoving knitting needles in my eyes. I quite like that.
There is VR support for Trackmania Turbo, I believe.
Nobi Boy VR.
There you go. I would like Katamari VR support, where I am the Katamari and will instantly get sick. Or, failing that, Destiny, and then Tim might play some Destiny.
What else might I like?
Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Oh, yes, that. That'd be good.
Good.
Anyway, so next.
Yes, Skydark via Discord. He says, question of the week. What games from this gen would you like to play before the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X launch? Nier Automata. I've been meaning to play that for however long since that game launched, and I still haven't touched it.
Final Fantasy VII Remake I would actually like to play.
It's very good. I need to finish it, though.
What else has been in? Yeah, I need to finish off Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
I do, but I want to go pick that up on the PC instead. I'm playing Horizon Zero Dawn again. That's a very good game.
I love that game.
I don't know.
There's a smattering of things that
there's got to be
we should have
done. Pile of shame. Ricardo Kirkabon or Richard Kirk via Discord, he said, if you could restore a once great game franchise, what would you restore? For me, it is Command and Conquer. For me, it is Monkey Island, The Secret of Monkey Island. I want more Monkey Island games.
You want more Monkey Island games?
I want more Monkey Island games.
King's Quest.
They did. Did you see the Ubisoft ones that came out a few years ago?
Yes, not massively successfully. I would like a return to... I read that as a once great game franchise. So I'm bundling in with that ones that have tried to come back but went a bit wayward.
I like that we've both gone for adventure games.
Yeah.
And adventure games in the sense of the old term of adventure games. But they do, if I remember rightly, those King's Quest games, when you get to like the last episode, they start doing more surreal callbacks to the previous King's Quest games, and it was all right. It's worth powering through.
Zork in VR.
B-15 bomber on the Intellivision.
Oh, nice.
B-15 bomber. Yeah, that. Sam Ronan via Discord also, he said, are there any ongoing franchises which have changed over time in many ways you do not like and wish the new generation would see a return to their older style? Examples might include stuff like Assassin's Creed, although I have barely touched any of those myself. I am actually struggling to think of any examples that I play through annoyingly. The only stuff that springs to mind is classic Need for Speed versus current stuff.
Okay, here's my hot take on that.
Go on then.
My hot take. Assassin's Creed's an interesting one, since I think it went through an awkward couple of games, but then has got a lot better and has changed direction in a really good way most recently. So yeah. Origins and Odyssey are two great games, and I think stand shoulder to shoulder with some of the best bits out of the Ezio trilogy. In terms of stuff that hasn't yet gone off the rails, but is going to go off the rails, Project Cars 3. Basically, they've removed all the simulation from it.
I would like Destiny to return to their roots and bring back 20,000 different currencies to the game.
I know. So would I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That still annoys me to this day.
But the fact that Dinklage is gone.
No, that I didn't get how to play the game, and then after a 24 hours of Extra Life, finally got into the game. I was like, yes, I have got this now. And then it was something like 2 weeks later, they went, we've updated it and made it a lot less complicated. Like, you gits.
Damn it!
You are to gits. I spent 24 hours learning this, and now I don't know it.
So it's not so much that you would like it to return for gameplay reasons. It's you'd like it to return just to spite them.
Yes, I'm a very spiteful person. But also going back on Ricardo Kirkabon, Dino Crisis. I'd like to see the return of the Dino Crisis series.
Oh, good
but
shout.
Done in the same way as they've done the Resident Evil 2 and 3 remake games. Yeah, I think that would work really well.
So someone reached out to me and asked me a question on Discord, which I forgot to reply to on the Discord. So to make amends, I'm now replying to you on the podcast. Makes sense. Mm. Not to me either, but never mind. Tyrus asked me, was Stadia good for what you played of it? Well, I think I've given you a nice long answer this show, and you were partially to blame for that, Tyrus. So I hope you filled your boots and enjoyed it, and thank you for the question.
Yeah, that's all the feedback we got this week.
We are going to go now, because we've had enough. As Carmen intimated, you ought to go on the internet, go to bigredbarrel.com and stuff, and also yes. twitter.com/bigredbarrel and stuff, and also facebook.com/bigredbarrel and stuff.
Yes.
And if you go to biggeroutbarrel.com, you should be able to find a link to our Discord there. Pop in, say hello, and you should even be able to search and find us in Discord these days, I understand. So, yeah.
If you have any issues getting into Discord, then you got Cap'n Average on Twitter, you got Dammit Coleman on Twitter, you got BRB Tim on Twitter. I'm sure we can sort it out some way or another. Maybe don't use Tim. He doesn't know how Discord works properly.
No, and I rarely respond to anything on Twitter, so really right, just maybe get hold of Coleman. Get hold of Coleman.
Yeah,
give him a little awkward hug. He loves it.
And then when you get into Discord, you can use the hi emote.
Yep.
So the emote that says hi,
hi. So yeah, cool. Right. Well, that's the show, I think. Tim may or may not be back next week. We honestly don't know. He may be painting something again, or may have an urgent, super secret thing that he doesn't want to tell us about.
Paint me like one of your French girls.
Yeah, I wonder if that. Yeah. So thank you ever so much for listening. And I think all that really remains for us to do is to remind you that I have been Dan.
Yeah, I've been Coleman.
And Tim's nowhere to be seen. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.